as I introduce Natalie, and we'll get one of these guys up here for you, I was just telling her before service, I was watching a superhero film earlier this week, and I was just thinking, hero, you know, and what does a hero mean to me personally? I was just thinking, oh man, hero to me is someone who stirs me, someone who encourages me. And what does that actually look like? It's someone who takes radical faith and actually lives it out in their day-to-day life. That's a hero to me. And as I look at Natalie and Francisco, I say, you guys are my heroes. And so we have the privilege this morning of having one of my heroes share the Word of God with us. And so would you please invite Natalie?
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to be here with you guys. You are family. I see a lot of familiar faces. There's actually quite a handful of people here that have actually visited us down in Mexico. And, Ben Ramos and Chris, two leaders here with you guys, came down and visited us in, I think, March, right? And man, we were just really talking about how the dynamics and diversity of our congregations and how we function as a body of Christ really is similar, both here in South Everett congregation as well as in the church that we are leading at Studio del Creador. So I really consider you guys family. Whether you know me or not, whether I know you, you're an essential part of what God is doing in the kingdom, and we're doing it together. Amen? It is an honor to be here. It's a privilege. Thank you for the invitation to share. It's an honor. And I'm just really grateful. And my husband, I would like to show a photo here, just in case you haven't seen him or met him in real life. This is Francisco Lozano, my husband. We've been married 4.5 years. And he sends his love. He wishes so badly that he can be here. He said with much love through a message the other day, he said, enjoy your vacation and your trip. There's a lot of work, too. But he says, enjoy it because it's going to be your last time visiting Seattle without me. That's faith because we're working on his immigration papers. But yes, he wishes so badly he could be here. He sends his love. He sends his blessing to you guys as our co-family in the Lord. Amen. I met him in a local church in Tecate. I will save the majority of his testimony for the day that he will come and share because it's powerful and it's his. But he is paralyzed from the waist down. That happened through an accident in gang activity. A lot of years ago, before he met Christ. And so, man, he is awesome. He's an example to me of a perseverant, a person that perseveres in the will of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, I just celebrated, a few days ago on the 4th, my 11th year in Mexico as a full-time missionary. And I'm just so excited because it's been the Lord that has given the strength, the endurance to keep running, because there's been a lot of bumps in the road. But I would like to share with you guys a little bit about the ministry before I begin and share the word. If you'd like to start some photos, you can go, let's see the first one. So Studio del Creador, I started it 9 years ago in Tecate, Mexico, after serving at Rancho de Sus Niños. Or while serving at Rancho de Sus Niños, an orphanage in Tijuana. And basically the vision the Lord planted into my heart when I was just 17 years old, after praying fervently and asking the Lord, use the gifts that you created me with, art and music, to reach the lost for your glory. And he gave me a dream when I was just 17 of this ministry. And so it's now been a reality for 9 years. And what we do is we teach free art and music classes to the community of Tecate, Mexico, in order to win them for Christ, in order to build relationship and friendship and basically be able to share the love of Christ in a tangible way through art and music. The art and music is just kind of a mask, right? But it's really awesome because We have people come from all paths of life, enter these classes of no cost, and you know, a lot of them don't even like art and music, but they come and they're there and they're like, why are you guys so kind and why do you offer this for free and what is going on? And that's the perfect opportunity to be able to share with them the love of Christ and be able to share with them that Jesus loves them and that's why we exist, so that they can hear about the gospel and have you know, hope for an eternal life. It's been really an amazing encounter. That's our guitar class. Right now, we've gone through a recent desert season. I'll be honest, there was some hard season there. It was a really hard season. But we just moved locations due to the facility is just kind of breaking down on us. So we moved location, but we're in the same city, but now we're in the heart of the town, Tecate. And, man, it is just wonderful. We're right next to the main high school and to the main craft and fabric store. And so we have had this outburst of growth. We have like 200 people signed up for our classes this summer season, which is more than we ever have had. And we've had 21 volunteers on our team that are all locals, a handful of them, probably like five of them, were students with us back when they were in high school, back 8-9 years ago when we started. And, you know, they had to go to school, so they couldn't come to the studio any longer, university, or life just kind of got in the way, and we kind of lost contact. But they have come back, some of these students, and they're like, they're now high school teachers and moms, and they're like, we want to give back. And so now we have that, and as well, just people from the community pouring into their own community. And it really has been a huge blessing to watch them flourish and grow over the years, but as well to watch new people walk through our doors. And even though they may not necessarily be a believer, they're there serving their community. And little do they know that soon, soon they will encounter the promise for eternity, their life in eternal heaven. And I am just really excited about it. So all the glory goes to the Lord. Francisco and I run a church as well. We're very similar to what you guys are. We're a small little congregation, diverse, all ages, and God is doing great things. Amen?
Amen.
Well, did we finish the photos? Yeah? There's one more. Oh, so this is a baptism. We did baptisms. We baptized 9 youth. They were all youth this time around in April when we opened up our new facility. And so that's one of our young men. I may get the chance to share a little bit with him about him through the message that I'm going to share today. But we just praise the Lord, amen, for these lives that are giving over to the Lord and walking in obedience and doing the water baptism. Amen? Well, I was talking to Pastor Ben Ramos, and I was like, well, what would you like me to share on? And he said that he was praying and that he has a heart for you as the Lord, our good Father, has a heart for you, his children. And that, his heart that he shared with me is that you would all be able to walk as missionaries in the world where you are at today. Amen? So I mean, what is more appropriate for a missionary to come and speak about missions? So that's what we're going to talk about. But it's not just about what God is doing down in Tecate in Mexico, and it's not just about, hey, we need to get prepared to go do international missions, and that everybody needs to leave their home, their families. No, it's about being a missionary where you are. Amen? It's about reaching out to the people in your community, in your surroundings, in your family, and doing what is your responsibility. Amen? I would like to go ahead and pray before we start. Lord, Father, we just thank you so much, God, for this morning, Lord, and just for being able to be together. I pray, Lord, that you would move through your word, that your word that is living, Lord, Father, would live inside of each one of us. I pray, God, that we would be inspired by this message today to walk in obedience, Lord, Father, to fulfill one of your commandments, Lord, where we are, to walk in boldness, in courage, and in love, to be able to share, Lord Father, your hope and promise that you offer to every person on this earth, Lord. Thank you so much, God. We just honor you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and read Matthew 28, 19, and 20, which is our assignment and our homework. Amen? And Jesus came and said to them, his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." Amen. We all have the assignment of going and making disciples. Know that? So we all have the disciple, or all have the assignment to go share the gospel and to create disciples of Jesus. So I would like to give you guys some steps today. I broke it down to three little steps on how to be a missionary wherever you are. It's super simple. Okay, I kept this simple. Didn't go into this deep in theology and all that. Step number one is we all need to have first our own encounter with Jesus in order to become a missionary one day. Step number two, we need to follow Jesus with our own very life, with our own actions, and we need to follow him. Step number three, we need to share about Jesus. We need to be bold. We need to actually open our mouth and share about Jesus so that others can begin this cycle and these steps and enter step one, and they can as well do step two and step three. Amen? The passage that I'm going to read, you will see that the disciples didn't have to do much more than talk about Jesus. Sometimes when we think of sharing about Jesus, we think that we need to be equipped, and we think of being equipped in a way that's far beyond where we already are in our lives. And many times we think, oh, I need to know a lot, the Bible. I need to do this or that to be able to share. I need to be ready. We are ready. Amen? We are ready. You can be a new believer and not even have barely just started to read the Bible, and you're ready if you have had an encounter with Jesus. You are ready to share with somebody the gospel of Jesus. I love how in the New Testament, Jesus is calling his disciples, you know, his 12 disciples, and then he goes beyond that even. But I love how when he invites them, so many of them just drop everything and follow him. And I love all the stories. There's some are more my favorite than the one that I'm going to share today. But the Lord really just kind of shared with me that I need to share this one, okay? So we're going to study John chapter 1, verse 35 through 51. It's kind of long, but we're going to summarize it, okay? So try not to get lost here. Lord, open our hearts and minds, amen? So we're going to go ahead and read it. I need to open up here. It's on the front. I'm not used to having a projector, which is a blessing. Okay. The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed him. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, sorry if I pronounced that wrong, which means Peter. Verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And then he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Okay. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We're going to break this down, okay? Because there's lots of meat in this. Amen? Okay, so this story talks about men who had an encounter with Jesus and left everything to follow him. And they were not shy about sharing the news of Jesus with others. They were bold. And we see a multiplying effect or result in the expanding of the kingdom through their obedience. So I'd like to show a diagram that kind of breaks down this story. I'm visual, I'm an artist, so I kind of needed this. And I think, well, maybe some of you will better understand what we just read, which was really, you know. Okay, so the first portion, verses 35 through 42, we hear about John the Baptist who shares with two disciples. One of them is unnamed. The other is Andrew. And then Andrew goes and shares with his brother, Simon Peter. Okay, so we see a chain reaction here of people that have an encounter with Jesus. They go and share about Jesus, or that follow Jesus, and then they go and share about Jesus. Amen? Then we see in the second part of this story, in John 1, 43 through 51, Jesus invites Philip. So Philip has an encounter with Jesus, follows him, and then he goes and shares it with Nathanael. Okay? So we see quite a multiple group of people here. I put two little fish by Andrew and Simon Peter because they were the fishermen. You remember them? So it kind of helps you picture who they are, right? And so there's this whole multitude already so quickly in these short story of people that were reached because somebody shared about Jesus. And everybody, it was like a chain reaction, right? So as we think about step number one and how we need to have an encounter with Jesus, we read verse 48 that says that Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael responded, "Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Now, I was watching on YouTube a little video of that really old Jesus movie, that really, really old one, you know, where they don't put any extra words in. They're just reading the scripture. And they put this scene in here where Nathanael was under the fig tree and he was praying. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't say that he was praying when he was under the fig tree, but it was most likely that he was praying and seeking the Lord in a off moment, off in the secret, under that fig tree. And he, in that moment, Nathanael, I'm sure, had an encounter with Jesus. In that prayer, in that time of intimacy that he was sharing with the Lord, in that seeking of the Lord, he had an encounter. And so I think that when Jesus comes and he has this physical encounter with Jesus, now a real life encounter with Jesus, I think that Jesus reminds him, "I was with you under that fig tree," to connect that special encounter that I'm sure Nathanael had in this intimacy, in the secret of the secret place, with now a physical encounter that he was having with Jesus. And I just think, wow, who knows what Nathanael was praying in that moment? Who knows what he was thinking, what he was asking, or what he was handing over to the Lord in that moment under that fig tree? But it must have been something very special, because it was so special that when Jesus said, "I was with you in that moment," something clicked in Nathanael. And he's like, "You are the Lord. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ." Amen? And I think, wow, what was my encounter with Jesus? I had an encounter with Jesus when I was 15. I knew Jesus since I was probably 5 or as little as I could be. But I had an encounter that changed my life and marked my life when I was 15 through the love of a grandfather that he would pour out and shed upon me. And when he passed away, that very day I had an encounter with Jesus, because the physical love that I needed and was experiencing every day in life disappeared that day that he went to heaven. And I needed to encounter the love of Jesus that very day to come and take that empty spot. And I did. And you know, Jesus took that throne in my heart. And he later on, years later, I was in Mexico on a missions trip with the church, a week-long missions trip. And I had another encounter that just really marks my life, changed the course of my life, actually, where we were, there were 75 of us, and we were taking a photo on this big rock. I don't know if you guys have been Rancho de Sus Niños, but there's a rock probably the size of a fourth of this room, really big. So 75 of us on it. And it was chaotic. Everybody's screaming and laughing and cheese and no, we'll move you. Let's do the funny photo. You know, it was chaotic. And suddenly, all of that noise just went into silence. And I was standing next to Pastor Don, but everything went silent. And I heard the Lord audibly say, "I am preparing you for a lifetime in Mexico." And it was so clear that it gave me this reverent fear of, whoa, if God can talk like this, man, he could also strike me with a lightning bolt if I don't obey this voice. And so I'm like hitting Ben or Don. I'm like, come on, Don, did you hear that? And he didn't even notice I was trying to get his attention. It was really a busy moment. And so it had to be the Lord. And it changed the course of my life. That was an encounter that I had with Jesus that caused an ignition in my soul, a fire to then go and share. And I think we all as believers, we all as followers, have to have that moment. If we have already had that moment, then you're ready to share. I pray that those that haven't had that moment, I pray that the Lord gives that to you soon, fast, if not even today. That you would realize that Jesus is so real, that his love is tangible upon you and your life, so that you can go out and share that. So if you've had that encounter, maybe you had it 20 years ago, maybe you had it 5 days ago. If you've had that encounter, you're ready and you're equipped to follow and to share Jesus to somebody else around you. Amen? So what was your encounter with Jesus? Remember it. Think about it. We can have encounters every day. It should be that way, that we continue to have encounters with the Lord in our walk with him every day. But what was that marking encounter? If you know what that encounter is, and if you can think of what it is, that can be your first tool on how to share. That encounter is enough for you to be able to share with somebody and say, you know, this is what God did for me. This is what God did in my life. This is how he transformed me. And there, right there, is your first tool on how you can share with others in your life about Jesus. Number two, the second step is we need to follow Jesus. Now, what does this consist of? First, the word follow means to go or strive after someone or something, in order to observe or imitate. Okay? So the other day, I went on this hike up down by Cannon Beach. I was blessed to go on a trip with a friend down there, and I love hiking. And I love the trees of the Northwest. Down in Mexico, it's desert. And there isn't a lot of shade. And there's, like, you have to worry about rattlesnakes, scorpions, tarantulas, all sorts of gross, weird bugs. And they're just out there in the open. It's not fun. It's hot. I don't like it down there. So one of my favorite hobbies is coming up and going on hikes. Love it to death. So last year, I don't know if you guys knew, but I was diagnosed with a heart condition, and it was very dangerous, and was on the line of death, and the Lord did an amazing, miraculous healing in my life for me to be able to be here talking with you guys today. But I went on a hike a couple weeks after the Lord healed me last year, but I had been in bed for about three months, and so I'd lost a lot of my strength and endurance. And so when I went on that hike last year, I went with a physical therapist, a friend of mine, and I would take about 10 steps upwards. It was a hike, you know, it's not just a walk. I really wanted the challenge. Wallace Falls there. It's a simple hike for those that do a lot of hiking, I think. Anyways, so we did about 10 steps, and I'd stop for 3 to 10 minutes. And then they would just do that. And we took 5 hours for us to do the whole thing. That's how often I was stopping and needed to take a breath. Anyways, this hadn't hiked in a whole year, and we went on a hike with the same friends this last week, and I praise the Lord because no stopping. We didn't go on the same hike, but we went on the same difficulty of a hike down in Cannon, and I praise the Lord for that strength and endurance. Amen? But when I was, while I was doing this, I was thinking, okay, the first half of this hike this time, I wanted to follow the physical therapist because I was unsure that I could do the steps. There were small little paths and big cliffs. Of course, they were filled with like bushes, but I'm still like, I can see the river way down there. So I'm like, can you first take the steps and I'll follow you? You know, we're talking about following Jesus. So I'm like, I'll follow your steps. And I just kept my eyes on the ground. And I'm watching her as there's just tons of roots sticking out of the ground and like little places to step your feet all over the place. And so I wanted to follow her. I said, you need to go in front of me. So I watched every place that she would step her foot, and I tried to do it in the same area because she looked like she just did it so easy. I'm just like, okay, if she steps in the right spot, that means it has to be a good spot for me. So I followed her. Now, the second part of the hike, I was just really pumped, and like my fear went away. No more being scared of that cliff. And I'm just like, yes, God, you've strengthened me. The second half, I was like, can I lead? And so I'm just going at it. Woo! Yeah, it was fun. I think, you know, our lives spiritually can be like that in some sense, that we're following Jesus, and we'll always follow him. But, you know, there will be a time in your life that I think the Lord will be able to promote you into being able to lead others and teach others on how to do this journey with Christ. Amen? I think everybody's capable and called to it. So, let's see. Like Jesus, we need to follow him and see where his steps are going and let him lead us every single day, not just on the big things, on where we're going to go to school, where we're going to study, not on just who we're going to marry, on what house we're going to buy, what job we're going to get. Not just on those things, but every single day, every single step, we need to be looking at the feet of Jesus in prayer, in intimacy in the morning, and asking him, where are you going to step today? I want to follow you because in you there's security. In you, I know that you're not going to lead me astray. In you, I know that you're not going to lead me on a step that is dangerous, that is going to fail my foot or my weight. Amen? In verse 38, it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Oh, sorry. Yeah, they followed him. Another account of the same story is in Matthew 4:20 that says, the same situation, it says, at once they, Peter and Andrew, left their nets and followed him. I love that. At once. At once they followed Jesus. They didn't have an encounter with him and then wait for years to pass. Live in their commodities and their comfort zone of not stepping out and doing things that take courage or boldness. They went at once. We need to go at once. We need to follow today. A disciple has access to the blessings of God. Wherever Jesus goes or stays, I too will go and stay as well. In verse 39 in the second part, it says, so they, we're talking about Andrew and the second disciple, went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. They had access to where he was going. They had special access to where he was staying. And you know, in other verses in the Bible, it says that the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, but they had access to wherever he went. You know, this weekend I had a blessing of being able to stay with our family, and they're here with me. But I thank you for coming. I got to spend time with the family, and wherever they went, which everywhere where they went was like amazing and a blessing, I had the access to where they went because this weekend I was following them. I was being hosted by them and their household. And so, you know, whenever we're with somebody, we have access to where they're going. You know, you might have a friend that's an employee to, is it the Smith Tower? Like, I don't know, something cool. And you're like, man, if anybody works there. But, you know, you might have a friend that has, like, some cool secret access pass to a concert or to the Smith Tower. And you get to go because you're friends with them and they have the pass and you're following them. So when we follow Jesus, we have access to everything that Jesus is and has. And so we have access to the blessings. We have access to his favor. We have access to his grace. We have access to his abundance. We have access to everything that Jesus offers when we follow him. We also see that Nathaniel and Philip, oops, on that diagram also follow Jesus. Okay? So, number three, share. We must share about Jesus. You know, I'm going to share a couple examples because I think, you know, we need examples. If you need to be encouraged on how can we share share about Jesus in my everyday life and be a missionary to those around me and those I cross paths with. When I was in high school, every day after school, my mom would go, like, to some, run some errand. And she'd leave me in the car for, like, half an hour to an hour to an hour and a half. And at that time in my life, it was so annoying because I was like, I just had a long day at school. I just had my encounter with Christ. So, you know, I was complaining. And well, as I started to, follow Jesus because I had my encounter with him, growing in intimacy, the Lord said, make little cards with verses on them. And just while you're sitting in the car, pray about those that you observe outside of the car, whether they're homeless people in front of the store. And think about how you can, and you know, at this point I'm like, I can't share about Jesus. You may not believe it, but I was one of the most shy people ever before today. So it's a process still. So I didn't have that boldness to talk about God or the encounter I had, but I had a card that had a verse, a promise, some sort of hope that I could offer these people. And so I would go out and give these cards to people. That was my first step on how to share after having an encounter and following the Lord. Later today, I still consider myself quite shy and timid, but man, how can I step out to the people that are around me? Girls come into, Francisco is great and a natural at it, my husband, and so he's an evangelist, but he always sends me the women, usually to the back, and he's like, go over there and talk to my wife. And they start pouring out their lives, their struggles, that they are selling their bodies to make a living for their children, that they are addicted to drugs, that they are battered women living in an abusive relationship with very corrupt men, or that they're pole dancers. And in those moments while they're sharing and pouring out their lives, I'm like, oh, how am I ever going to, what do I talk to them about? How do they? And you know, all I do is open my mouth. All I do is say that Jesus loves you, and God begins to flow. The Holy Spirit begins to fill the rest of the conversation. And they end up just giving their lives to Christ. They end up having that encounter, their initial encounter with Jesus. And the Lord is so gracious like that. So, you know, this weekend I just really admire my friend Deborah. She, everywhere that we went this weekend, she was just, can I pray for you? Oh, just every single opportunity that she had, she was in the store, like, what? You know, somebody, oh, this, and she'd be like, let's pray for you. Let's pray, and just a smile on her face. Oh, and then people would say, oh, can you pray for so-and-so? Yeah, let's pray right now. It was just so inspiring. And that's just how I think God really created us to live day to day. Yeah? John said to his disciples in verse 36, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Sometimes the results will be immediate, without doubt, like in this case. But in other times, the results will take time or even years after we share, right? When I was in high school, I shared specifically with three friends about Christ. And it wasn't until years later that one of them called me out of the blue and said, I have accepted Christ. And she has been the most faithful financial supporter in my missions journey for the 11 years that I've been there. She's been supporting me every month. And that girl, that same very girl in high school, was very rude up front to me in rejecting Christ. And it was a hurtful encounter. But we can't walk in fear or in rejection of what happens in the moment. We need to look farther ahead and dream of these new salvations. We must share without hesitance and no fear, and we must be bold. Let's see. I'm running out of time, so I'm trying to pick one of the best here. There's been times when women would invite me to their house, and I would later find out that I was sitting down in a drug lord's home where shootings have happened and where it's probably the most dangerous place on earth you could be, honestly, is inside of a home where there are drugs being stored and sold. But in those places, it wasn't my boldness, it wasn't my courage, it was my faith in the Lord and my obedience in the Lord and being entered into those places and watching God transform families, free women from those relationships, and in that bondage that they had in those relationships. There's a time when a man tried to break into my house when I was single with really horrible intentions. There was proof of it. I don't need to go into all those details, but you can take your imagination there and I'm sure you'll go right. So in the middle of the night he came and he had bad intentions to break in, and the cops were there fast and everything was taken care of. He got cuffed up. The next morning the Lord just spoke to me all night. You need to go share the love of Christ to him. And I went the next morning by myself, and I looked for him. And they sat him down, cuffed him to a chair, and he did not react well. And he was in denial, and he was very angry at me. It actually led to me needing to leave Mexico for 6 months. This was like 6 years ago. But I shared the gospel of Christ with him. And, you know, that was that day's assignment for me. That was that day's assignment for me to show love to a man that didn't deserve it, just as you and I don't deserve the love of Christ. How am I any better than he? I too am a sinner, have sinned. But it was my job that day, as I sought the Lord, to follow the Lord and share the Lord to him that day. Today, who knows where he's at? But I'm having faith that in heaven I'll see him. Amen? In verse 43, Jesus shared with Philip and said, follow me, follow me, follow me. Follow every one of my steps, every single one of my steps. Copy the steps that I take. I'm just thinking about that hike that I took. Verse 45, Philip found Nathanael and said, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Jesus. Sometimes whom we share with will have doubt. The Bible says in verse 46 that Nathanael responded, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He was displaying some doubt. But we must persevere. No matter how a person reacts, no matter what their facial reaction is, whether they look, whether they look all tied up or not, you know, just annoyed with what you're talking about, we need to walk in boldness. We can lead others to Jesus' plan for their lives, to Jesus' planned encounter for their lives. Philip answered Nathanael's doubt and said in verse 46, come and see. He didn't get discouraged by Nathanael's doubt. He said, come, see. We can't be discouraged when others have doubt, when we're sharing with them. I think sometimes we have a bad experience, and that causes us to be quiet. And it causes us to not step out of faith in the grocery store and pray for strangers because we had a bad experience last time. We can't do that. Philip didn't do that. Philip still said, come and see. You know, there was two friends that I brought down, and I continue to bring down people to the orphanage or to the ministry saying, come on, come and see what Jesus can do through you in the missions field. And, you know, I had friends that, you know, aren't doing that today, but they're doing, you know, they're being missionaries here, up here with their families and in this community. I did that with my brother. Come and see. I brought my brother to Mexico, and now it's been 11 years that he is also a full-time missionary. Amen. With a family, wife, and a baby. There is a reward for following Jesus. And it says it in the same story. There's many rewards that we can go and look at in many parts of the Bible. But in the same story, it says in verse 50, Jesus said, you believe, he was talking to Nathanael, you believe because I told you and I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. You will see greater things than that. You will see greater things than the encounter you just had with me. You will have encounters, greater than the ones you've had right now with me in the fig tree story. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Referring to that he saw when Jesus ascended to heaven, and that was even greater, right? So one of the promises we have is that we will see greater things. We will have greater encounters than that encounter that transformed your life, that brought you down a different path. You will have greater encounters and see greater things with the Lord. John 14:12-14 says, very, and this is Jesus talking. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, miracles, signs, wonders, salvations, and they will do even greater things than these." You will do even greater things than what Jesus himself did here on earth, because he lives in you. You will do greater things. Chris, if you'd like to come up, I was told that you could, oh, there you are, sorry. You could come up and do a little song. Well, I'm going to pray over you guys. This verse continues to go on. It says, "Because I am going to the Father," or "you will do greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." You can ask me for anything, says Jesus. As we learned in the story we read today, where Jesus went, they went. Where he stayed, they stayed. So whatever we ask in his will, in his purpose, we will receive. "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." I would love for you guys to just close your eyes. And I'm going to pray. You can close your eyes. I'm going to take a step here with the three different steps as far as having an encounter, following, and then sharing. And I'd like to pray for you in whatever group of those three things that you feel like you belong to. So with your eyes shut, so that nobody has to see what you're going to share with me, so that I can pray for you. When you think about having that encounter with Jesus, if you could raise your hand if you think that you're at that stage still. You're still waiting for an encounter with Jesus that will transform the direction of your life, that will transform. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much for this young man. God, I just thank you that you have chosen him, that you created him, Lord, in the womb of his mother with purpose. Lord, that he is unique and special, and that he has, Lord Father, you have a plan for his life, Lord. You want to use him mightily, Lord, to transform lives, to bring great influence into this world. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would come into his life and that you would give him that encounter. Share with him that encounter. Lord, show him your face. Bring your presence into his very well-being, Lord, that he would know that your existence is real. It is by faith and not by sight, Lord. Show him and reveal to him. Thank you, Lord. You know, I want to say to you, young man, that I had an encounter with the Lord, but it took a year of me praying every night before bed. Lord, use my life. Use my life. Show me my purpose. I don't know why I exist in this world. Show me my purpose. It took a year, every day, saying the same prayer fervently over and over again, routinely. And when I was least expecting it, one night while I was sleeping, the Lord gave me a dream that revealed Studio del Creador in Mexico. And in that moment, I knew I had purpose. I had direction. And I declare upon your life a similar encounter. The Lord says to you, "Seek me and you will find me." Young man, the Lord says, "Seek me and you will find me." Now, I'm going to invite those with your eyes closed, please, still. Those in step number two that feel like they need a little bit of a push to follow Jesus. They need a push to follow Jesus. If that is you, raise your hand, and like I say, I'll just pray. You feel like you need to increase in your personal life what that means to follow him, to step out and to follow every one of his steps. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord Father, for these three people. And I just ask, Lord, that you would guide them, that you would grasp onto their hands, Lord Father, that you would lead them down your path, that you would lead them through every single step, God, daily, God, that they would walk in more boldness, that all fear would disappear in the name of Jesus, and that they could step out, Lord Father, in courage and boldness to follow you and to be obedient to what you're asking of them, Lord. Lord, you know that you're nudging their spirits and that you talk to them every day and you give them assignments, Lord. So I just pray that they will be able to fulfill those assignments, those daily assignments, Lord Father, following you. And well, the last group would be if you feel like you need a boost from the Lord to share what the Lord has done with you, that boldness to share. Everybody feels that they're sharing and that they're ready. If you would like prayer, I'd just like to be in agreement with you today. Lord, I just declare that there would be a boldness in each one of their lives to step out, Lord Father, to open their mouths. And that even though they feel, Lord Father, the enemy has sent lies to them that they are not capable of sharing your gospel, that they haven't been educated, that they have messed up recently, that they have fallen, that they have fallen into sin recently, Lord, that they feel they're unworthy to be able to share, God. I just pray that you would envelop them with your presence, with your love, that, Lord, you would remind them that your love and your grace is so much bigger than their weakness, Lord, that your strength, that you're strong in their weakness, God. And I pray that there would just be a mighty overflow, Lord Father, of missions, of mission work being accomplished here in Casino Road. I pray, Lord, that this congregation would be a light into the community, Lord. Lord, Father, if you're stirring in somebody's heart, international missions, Lord, I pray that you would come through, help them through that process of what it looks like. But, God, I pray for this community, for this church, that they can be missionaries to one another, that when there is a need, that they can somebody could stand up and provide, if it's a meal, if it's care, if it's a ride, that they can start with that, Lord Father, and that this church will multiply in size, Lord, not because numbers are important to you or even to us, but because we as a congregation, I believe we're in agreement here with Pastor Ben Ramos, we're in agreement that we want to see Casino Road be transformed. And more people here means that there's transformation happening. So, Lord, we declare for your glory to, Lord Father, be revealed in this city through South Everett congregation. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Well, I went about 10 minutes over. Forgive me. But blessings upon all of you, and thank you for the opportunity to share.
If we could pass the offering plates around just as you feel stirred to give towards the mission of Natalie and Francisco and the studio, be great blessing towards them. Also, just want to pray over you as our extended family. And you are a faithful woman of God and a mighty woman of God because you serve a mighty God and you're faithful to continue to submit your life before Him. Yeah. So, Father, we pray over Natalie and Francisco. God, we pray right now, just for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, for refreshing, Lord. God, I pray for renewed vision and new vision. Lord, I see you just giving them a key ring full of keys, and each key would be unlocking specific things in people's lives, that you're giving wisdom to take people into next steps in discipleship. I just see that specifically with three people. The number three just keeps sticking out. Three specific people that the Lord's giving you wisdom and direction on what their next steps need to be. And that you guys would be stepping into just kind of a new capacity of pastoral leadership. And the Lord's just opening that up for you guys. Lord, I pray that you would give them grace in their speech. Grace in their words. Yeah, that as we just finished studying as a church, controlling the tongue, Lord, that you would just be giving them the perfect words to speak in every moment. And just as she's spoke to us, Lord, about following, that their words would be submitted before you. Yeah, I just see something special there about the words that you guys use. Father, we pray, we just pray powerful encounters across Tecate. God, I pray that you would pour your spirit out. We call and ask for revival, Lord, that people would be giving their lives to you in mass numbers, that people would be being baptized in your Holy Spirit in mass numbers, that people would be being empowered and each taking on this missionary mindset in mass numbers, and that you would use Natalie, Francisco, and their whole team, and their whole studio, and their whole church just to transform their part of the world. Lord, we're so blessed by their faithfulness. Lord, would you continue to bless them? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We sure do love you guys. Grateful for you. And if you guys are desiring, there is a painting. What are we calling it? Painting with Natalie. A fundraiser. Asking for a suggested donation of $40. That is this Thursday from 6 to 9 at MC4. So if you guys are curious about that, can chat with you after? Great. And she has a little table set out front, so make sure you stop and give your thanks and your blessings and your love to her on your way out. Okay? Well, in the name of Jesus, have an awesome week and go in power. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.